Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Opening day for Major League Baseball. You know who shouldn't be working today? You. You should not be working today. It should be a national holiday. Everybody gets really up for March Madness. This is my March Madness. I would rather sit and watch baseball all day. It's no knock on college hoops. There's just something special about opening day in Major League Baseball. And we've had games all day long. Right now, the nationally televised game on ESPN. It's the Dodgers at Coors Field taking on the Rockies in Colorado, getting to Clayton Kershaw. They hold a 4-2 lead going into the sixth inning. Kershaw's given up three earned runs. The Rockies just had a big inning, scoring two to take control. Take a two-run lead in that contest. Another game that we have going on right now, the St. Louis Cardinals taking on the Cincinnati Reds. This game interests me squarely from the point of, okay, Nolan Arenado, right? The Cardinals have their shiny new corner infielder, and they did not disappoint. Right out of the gate, the Cardinals get to the Reds. They score six in the first inning. They currently lead 11-4. Those were really the two games in the afternoon that I was really interested in watching. Let's look at the scoreboard in general. We talked about the Dodgers and Rockies already. We have one at the bottom of the ninth, the Twins looking to beat the Brewers. They hold a 5-2 lead. Right now, Milwaukee threatening. Tying run is at the plate. Christian Yelich is now at the plate with one out, runners at first and second. Opportunity to send this into extra innings. Right now, top of the ninth, the Pirates lead the Cubs 5-3. Kyle Hendricks did not have the best showing early on in this game. The Pirates managed to take advantage early on, and they've never looked back. Right now, we have the Braves and the Phillies tied 2-2. This one at the bottom of the eighth. Right now, Roman Quinn at the plate for the Phillies. He's got a runner on second base. We have the Diamondbacks and the Padres. San Diego's another team. Whenever the Padres play this year, you're going to watch. I don't care if you're an AL guy. I don't care if you're anti-Padre. You're going to watch San Diego when they're on. Right now, they hold a 6-2 lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yu Darvish has gone 4 2/3, two earned runs, seven hits. But Madison Bumgarner was obliterated by the Padres early. Will Meyer goes yard in this contest. The Rays right now, they just took the lead over the Miami Marlins. They hold a 1-0 lead, this one in the top of the eight. Pitchers duel in that contest. Top of four right now, the Rangers lead the Royals 8-7. Final scores earlier today, the Blue Jays get the Yankees in 10 innings, 3-2, in a game that went back and forth throughout. The no decision to Gerrit Cole, who pitched a pretty stellar game for New York. Then we have the snow game. Cleveland and Detroit, these two playing in the snow. And the Indians are a team we talked a lot about on the show yesterday. They fall, however, to the Tigers tonight. This morning they fall to the Tigers 3-2. Cleveland will look to get back on track later this week. Still to come tonight, we have nightcap baseball. 8:05, the White Sox will take on the Angels. The Astros will battle the A's. What a matchup to start. Zach Greinke going up against Chris Bassett. 8:10 tonight, Giants, Mariners as well. Two games have been postponed. The Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox, that game has been postponed. And then the Mets and the Nationals. Major League Baseball postponing that game due to COVID-19 concerns. And so that's what's happening right now in Major League Baseball. What a day. What a fun day. Like I said, you shouldn't be working. You should have been home watching baseball all day long. Watching this Dodgers-Rockies game, I don't recall the last time I seen something like this happen. I can't even remember what inning it is. I want to say it was the second inning. Second or third inning. Somewhere in the middle of the game. Anyway, Cody Bellinger gets up. Justin Turner's on first base. Bellinger sends a shot over the left field wall. It looked as if Ramil Tapia, outfielder for the Rockies, grabbed it. Looked like he robbed Bellinger. So Justin Turner runs back to first. Tapia did not grab it. It went over the fence. As Turner is running back to first, Cody Bellinger passes Justin Turner. Turner is out. Been a long time since I've seen something like that. So Bellinger had a one-run shot instead of a two-run shot. You see some weird things happen, especially early on in the season. That's a quick look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard. Everything happening in baseball, we cannot forget about the NBA. We can't forget about March Madness, even. You know, we have a national championship still to decide. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Off night for your Utah Jazz. 5 o'clock tonight, though, we get Philly at Cleveland. The Pistons host the Washington Wizards. We get the Hornets on the road taking on Brooklyn as well at 5:30. 6 o'clock tonight, Golden State at Miami. The Magic take on the Pelicans. It's the Hawks and the Spurs. And then the best game of the night, 8 o'clock on TNT. It's the Nuggets and the Clippers. Denver traveling to take on L.A. The other L.A. team struggling right now, just decimated by injuries. And that's great news for everybody else in the Western Conference. Looking at the way the standings shape up now, because we're 47 games into the season. There's 72 games to be played this year. Roughly 47 games. Some teams hovering around that 50-game mark. Utah in first place in the Western Conference, 3 up on the Phoenix Suns, who are 2. The Clippers are 5 back of the Jazz at 32-17 in third. The Lakers are now 6.5 back of the Jazz. And the Lakers are only a half game up on the Nuggets and the Trailblazers. Mavericks are the 7 seed, Spurs the 8. Right now, the Warriors and Grizzlies fighting for that play-in round competition. In the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn half game up on Philly. Milwaukee's in third. The Hornets 8 back. They've climbed all the way to number 4. Michael Jordan's done some good things finally as an owner. The Hornets moving up. Miami right now, the 5 spot at 24-24, tied with the Knicks. And then you get the Hawks, the Celtics, the Pacers, and Bulls round out those playoff spots. You can't forget about NBA basketball. I know it's easy to right now with March Madness. You know, we had NFL free agency. The draft is coming up and baseball's back. You can't forget about the NBA. Here's what we have coming up on the show today. We are going to talk local baseball. Coach Jeff Cinceros of the Carbon Dinos is going to join us next segment. Carbon losing a game yesterday to JUAB. The Wasps ranked as one of the top teams in 3A. That was a good measuring stick for Carbon. They had some success. Unfortunately, they were unable to pick up the win. Also, we are going to be joined by Jimmy Failia. If you're unfamiliar with the name, you're going to get real familiar with him. Starting on Monday, he will be in the 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. slot here on KOAL. He's taking over the time slot that was occupied by Rush Limbaugh for about 3 decades. Now, Jimmy's got a very extensive sports background as well. I love his story. He was a former cab driver in New York, turned stand-up comedian, turned political talk show host. And like I said, he loves sports as well. Here's a tidbit for you. Jimmy was actually a contestant on the first season of ESPN's Dream Job. Remember that show where they would take someone that wanted to be an ESPN anchor and they'd have to go through that process? He was a part of that show. So we're going to talk to Jimmy Failia as well. We'll get you set for Monday. It's a new era of radio here on KOAL. Plus, we'll give you the local sports recap. That's all coming up right here on this afternoon Thursday edition of the show. Opening day for Major League Baseball right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
If you're interested in finishing your degree or continuing your education, Utah State University Eastern has plenty of options.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow.
There was only one game for the Carbon High School baseball team this week. They played yesterday against the JUAB Wasps, who were viewed as the number one ranked team in the 3A classification. Hard-fought game. Carbon comes out on the short end of the stick, 6-1. You can get your full recap on that right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. We'll talk Carbon High School baseball right now. We'll also look into what's going to be a very busy week next week coming out of spring break. Joining us right now over the phone, manager Jeff Cinceros, and coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate you being on.
Yeah, coach. I know it's been a very busy time for you guys. Kind of a lesser week. I know it was spring break, only really one game, but next week you guys will hit it heavy once again. 12 games now deep into the season, coach. A loss yesterday against JUAB 6-1. It's a good JUAB squad, so I mean you don't look at that loss and say, eh. But in the same token, it's a Carbon team that has proven they can compete with anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I thoroughly, you know, expect to win every game that we play. That's just the group we have, and so it's disappointing when we come out on the bottom end. But you know, as long as we're continuing to get better and learn from our mistakes and eliminate those mistakes, you know, in the future we'll be just fine. But yeah, this is a game, you know, a disappointing loss. I mean, playing the number one team in 3A as far as rankings go. But, you know, I really feel like we have, in my opinion, the best team in 3A, but we, you know, we didn't play like it yesterday. Too many walks from our pitching staff and too many errors on our defensive side and on the hits. And, you know, not to take anything away from JUAB, I mean, they've proven so far this year with, you know, 11-12-1 record that they belong where they're at. But it's a team that I feel like we can beat and we should beat. And, you know, hopefully we'll see them again down the road.
Yeah, you go on the road, coach, you play a team like JUAB, you have six errors. Typically, it's pretty tough to get a win. I mean, is that a pretty clear indication right there as to why you guys came out on the short end?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you know, the last couple games, our pitching staff has struggled to get ahead of batters. You know, we finished off the St. George trip with 15 walks against Desert Hills and then pick it back up with 9 walks yesterday. And you know, you can't pitch from behind and put your defense in a situation where they're not seeing balls hit at them, you know, for a long amount of time. Then all of a sudden the ball gets on them and you're a little flat-footed. And, you know, you need to be ready at all times, but it's a lot easier as a defense if you're involved in the game, you know, with every hitter and every inning. And we're not doing that. We're not getting our group involved. And but again, you know, we had some simple ground balls that should be outs, and we're not making those plays right now. But, yeah, just the fact, you know, pitching from behind yesterday and then errors on top of that, and then, you know, just not getting a lot of hits either. I mean, I think we finished with four hits yesterday, and, you know, against a pitcher who's thrown it pretty well. But, again, we need to do a better job of scoring balls up and putting balls in play. And so just a combination. You know, I felt like JUAB played, you know, pretty much a perfect game on their end. Pitching wise was good. They made no errors. You know, they hit the ball when they had guys on base, and yet we're right in the ball game, even though we made a bunch of errors. And in my opinion, you know, just didn't play our best baseball. So it's a kind of a positive to know that, you know, we're right there in a game that we can very easily win if we just clean some stuff up.
You mentioned the pitching for JUAB, and coach, in this game, Ludlow goes complete, 7 innings, gives up just 4 hits, has 12 strikeouts. When you look at the 12 strikeouts, was it a combination of him just being that dominating? Was it a lack of presence in the box from Carbon? I mean, what do you contribute or attribute the 12 strikeouts to?
Well, I'm not one to make a lot of, you know, a lot of excuses for what we do or don't do, but yesterday, you know, the umpiring on the plate was terrible, and you know, we started the game off with a called third strike on a pitch that's in our eyes as our leadoff hitter, and that sets a tone for pitches that you need to swing at the rest of the day. And so we struck out on a lot of bad pitches yesterday that normally I don't think we'd be swinging at with a you know, a good umpire zone. And, you know, obviously both teams played by the same umpiring, but, you know, we've really worked our pitchers to work on keeping the ball down. And that's where you should be pitching at this level, and that yesterday was not a strike for us. And so that hurt our pitching as well, where we were throwing a lot of good pitches and not getting that call. And then on the other side, you know, you're getting pitches that are up in the zone and everywhere else that you're having to swing at. And again, I mean, it was the same for both sides, but I just thought JUAB took advantage of that a little bit more than we did. We just swung at a lot of bad pitches, and it didn't help us out. But you know, again, I mean, if you have to play game by game, you have officiating it that way, you have to adapt your game. You can't make that excuse that that's why, you know, you weren't successful. But I thought it really affected us more yesterday than it did the JUAB team. But, again, we'll make those adjustments and changes and just get better in the future for it.
Again, our guest right now, Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Donald baseball team. Coach, with that being said, now you get a little bit of a break this week, only one game. Next week, you pick it up heavy once again. These kids have played a lot of baseball in a very short period of time. And I'm following the Facebook group, looking at today, it is the midway point. You guys have hit the midway point now, 12 games into the season.
Yeah, we're midway through the season. We're only two games into the region play, but we get started back next week with two games with San Juan. A home game with the number one ranked 2A school in Gunnison will be at our place on Wednesday, and then another great test with 6A Bountiful coming in on Saturday, a game that was supposed to be played earlier in the year that was postponed because of weather. So, you know, two really good quality opponents in Bountiful and Gunnison will be at our place, you know, during the week, and San Juan's struggling a little bit, but those are, you know, two of the most important games of the week based on, you know, their region games for us, and it's always tough to travel down to San Juan and get off a bus and play well, but it's something we're going to have to do on Tuesday when we get back to practice on Monday. And, you know, the kids need a break. I mean, this spring break, I just hope they have an enjoyable spring break as everybody and a safe one. And but, you know, we need to just keep focused on baseball as well. We just can't take the whole week off and not get out and throw the ball around and do some stuff. So I reminded them that they needed to, you know, work on some things, even though they have some days off. But, you know, it's important. It's hard to take a week off in the middle of your season. And I wish everybody's spring break was the same time so we could do all this spring break stuff all at once. But everybody seems to be on a different schedule, and it makes it a little bit tough. But, you know, again, I'm happy where we're at. I mean, we're 8-4 very easily. You know, three of those games, in my opinion, were very winnable games that we let slip away from us and didn't get W's in. And we just need to learn from our mistakes in those games. And I think if we do that, we're going to be just fine as the year, you know, unfolds. But, you know, we got a lot of baseball still left to play, and we just need to keep focusing on our end goal, which is to be right there at the state championship game at the end of the season.
Yeah, Coach, going over the individual statistics, you guys have hit .358 throughout the year, and you and I have had a lot of talk about the offense and what you guys can produce at the plate. You got a few kids that have really hit the ball extremely well. I know Keaton Rich, typically one of the top performers in the box when we look at box scores. He's batting like .470 or something along those lines at this point in time. Rylan Hart, I know, has had a good season as well. So when you look at the way the kids are hitting this year, is it where you need to be, or is that team batting average of a .358 or so, does that need to go higher?
No, it needs to be higher. I mean, a lot of those hits are multiple hit games against, you know, some teams that are struggling, and it seems to me that with the better teams that we've played, the ones that we've lost to, our hitting has not been there, and that's been a reason why we've lost. And so, you know, we need to hit consistently against better pitching, and it's something we're not doing as a group right now. You know, we get one or two hits at any given time, and we're not putting together back-to-back hits against good pitching. So, you know, obviously it's good. We got some guys swinging the bat. I mean, Jacob Vasquez has continued to swing the bat. He had another nice hit yesterday. Keaton had a triple yesterday. Derek Robinson is coming in, usually in our DH spot, and is producing at the plate, and that's just what we need from guys. And you know, we have some guys that have struggled the last three or four games with a lot of strikeouts, and I think just trying to do too much at the plate right now, and we need to simplify things. But, you know, I'm happy with what we have, and I know what we're capable of doing, and it's just a matter of relaxing a little bit and letting the game come to us instead of us pressuring to take the game to them. So, but, you know, the batting average, you know, I'd really like to see it set right around .400 when the year's all said and done. I think if we're at that average, I think we're going to be just fine. And, you know, that is a high average to have in high school, but this is a group that's very capable of hitting .400 on the year.
Coach, between now and I guess towards the end of the season, I know we're going into more region play next week as well, but you do have a lot of games. Is that kind of the main focus? Is it just cleaning some things up in the field, maybe being a little bit more patient, logging some quality at-bats? Is that pretty much the gist of what this team needs to work on next week?
It is. I mean, our pitching staff, you know, we have some great arms on our staff, and again, I think they're trying to do too much too right now, and that's caused a lot of issues with us pitching from behind and too many walks. We really need to clean that up. I mean, we can beat a lot of teams with the way we're swinging the bat right now, but we're not going to beat a lot of teams, you know, if we continue to walk a lot of batters and put ourselves in a hole and do things. That's my main focus right now. Of coming back is that our pitching staff needs to clean up the amount of walks that we have. And again, just, you know, it comes about trusting the guys behind you and letting them play and not trying to do too much. I mean, I know we all do it. I mean, as a pitcher, you know, at times when you feel like you have to do everything out there and you overdo it and, you know, you're not involving your teammates. And I really think we just need to involve them. And we have a great pitching staff. We have great kids. you know, and the fact they want to do so much is a tribute to how good a player they are. But, you know, at this level in this game, you need everybody to, you know, compete and contribute, and we just need to do a better job of that. But, you know, the hitting, I think, will pick up a little bit. But, again, it's probably good enough right now to win a lot of games as long as we're not putting ourselves in a hole with our pitching staff and making errors, and we do need to clean up some of our defensive stuff. And we've had a lot of guys bouncing around in different positions because they're capable of doing it. We have guys that can play multiple positions, and, you know, they're making some errors, positions that they're not seeing a lot of time in. But, again, we just need to be a little tougher in those situations and mentally prepare ourselves a little better. But, you know, I'm happy. I mean, a lot of people don't ever look at me and think that I'm happy. I'm not smiling a lot, but, you know, I know what this team is very capable of doing. And, again, just trying to get the best out of them every day and know that, you know, we can be better every day than what we're doing right now. And get them to believe that and play like that is my main goal. So, again, we're just going to stay after it.
Well, Coach, it is always fun to get an update on the team and always fun to talk with you. Enjoy the rest of spring break, and I know when next week rolls around, we'll catch up again. So thank you.
I appreciate it, Jordan. Everybody have a happy and safe Easter out there as well.
Thank you, Coach. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. After the break, I'm going to be joined by Jimmy Filia. Now, Jimmy is a former cab driver in New York City turned comedian turned radio talk show host. He's the host of Fox Across America, and that is the program that will take over that epic and legendary 10-to-1 time slot here on KOAL on Monday. I'm excited for his program. I think you're going to enjoy it. I'm also excited to get familiar with Jimmy. He's going to join us over the phone when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. Opening day for Major League Baseball, one of my favorite days. This is my March Madness, even though it's April 1st. We're going to talk baseball. We're also going to talk programming change coming here to KOAL. When I came here 11 years ago, something was obvious to me immediately. Rush Limbaugh rules the roost. And of course, if you listen to KOAL enough, you know that the listeners absolutely love Rush Limbaugh. We hear this all the time. However, it is the end of an era for Rush Limbaugh on KOAL. And starting on Monday, we will have a new program. It's called Fox Across America with Jimmy Filia. And Jimmy is actually joining us right now. We're going to get familiar and acquainted with him. Jimmy, it's a pleasure to get you on the show today. I definitely appreciate you making out the time for us.
Jordan, happy opening day. I'm a baseball guy myself.
It's the best day of the year, right?
Yeah, no, it's a big deal for me. And I will have you know, my Yankees. I grew up in a Yankee house, and don't hate me for that, Utah listeners, because baseball, very much like religion, your parents kind of pick it for you, you know, and then you show up from there. But my Yankees, I will have you know, Jordan, did a very good thing. They used the stadium as a vaccination site during the coronavirus pandemic, which I think was out of necessity because they needed to get rid of all those needles that were left behind from A-Rod and Jason Giambi.
That's a great point. Look, you're 100% right. When it comes to baseball teams, you don't get a pick, right? I'm a Dodger guy, been a Dodger guy my entire life. I didn't get a pick that. Coming out of the womb, I was a Dodger fan because my dad said so, damn it.
Yeah, so true. It's like, did you want dessert, yes or no? I was like, yes. Okay, well then Don Mattingly's a great first baseman. That was my youth. That's what I grew up around. Big baseball family. Levittown, New York, which is really like America's first suburb. It was built for American troops returning home from World War II. They bought houses using the GI Bill. They built above-ground pools. They drank a lot of Meisterbrau, which is weird because they were very patriotic guys. But it was just a wonderful place to grow up because it was like unapologetically pro-America. And that's very much the vibe of my show. If you've heard enough of it, it's that I'm kind of not taking the culture war serious, but I am taking kind of the country serious because I care about it. You get it?
Absolutely, and I've had the opportunity to listen now over the last couple of weeks. And so, Jimmy, I want to talk about your career and how you got started in radio. I mean, you've been around for a long time, and on top of everything else, you have an interesting career path. Cab driver to comedian to host of Fox Across America. So, I mean, all in all, man, you've been well-traveled over the last, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, man, it's been a ride. I started out driving a taxi in New York City. I don't mean to brag, ladies. I know that gets a lot of you worked up. You're like, is this guy single? No, I kid. But I started out driving a taxi 12 to 15 hours a day in the city and writing stand-up comedy and performing here on the stages in New York and around the country. And then I became the head writer for a TV show called Gotham Comedy Live on Access TV. And I would basically write the celebrity monologue every week for maybe like a William Shatner or David Hasselhoff or a Pamela Anderson, somebody who wasn't a comedian. They would task me with turning them into a comic in like 1 week. And that ultimately got me seen by Fox people, who brought me into Fox News to be on TV as like an analyst. And then I wrote for the Kennedy Show on Fox Business. And then one day somebody let me fill in on the radio and they were like, wow, this guy's kind of all right at this. And I don't know. I think what makes it work for me, Jordan, is that I'm very much more of a listener than a host, in that I've spent most of my life driving a taxi and listening to radio. So I kind of come from a listener's point of view when it comes to issues. And that's how I wound up on the phone with you. I mean, the fact that you're telling me you've heard my show and you're still being friends with me means a lot, man.
Well, when you talk about being a cab driver and how this kind of played a role in what makes you so good as being a listener on the radio, I've got to assume, being a taxi driver in New York City, man, you've seen and heard some stuff, man.
Wow, Jordan, I'll tell you a quick story. I had a woman get in my cab once with a sock puppet on each hand and communicate me with like a 45-minute drive. She only spoke to me through puppets. So they wanted to go to Cadman Plaza in Brooklyn, which is just no man's land. It's nowhere you need to be. But they had gotten in, and one puppet was like, we're going to Cadman Plaza. And the other puppet was like, take the Manhattan Bridge. And then they fought with me over my driving and my directions for like 45 minutes. And the craziest part of the whole thing is, like, when we got there, the woman working the puppets actually looked at me through the partition, and she goes, you need help. And she got out of my cab and slammed the door. It was, like, bizarre. And we're married 15 years now. I kid.
How did you deal with that kind of stuff? How are you sane today?
Well, I know that's an arguable, debatable point. I think what happens is, when you're driving a cab, it's so unpredictable and there's so much beyond your control that you really learn to calm down to the point that it's almost like an unhealthy level of calm, where you're almost dead on the inside, because you need to develop an immunity to traffic and you need to develop an immunity to like people screaming at you. So what happens, Jordan, is like in the beginning, you're very friendly to the passengers and you learn to kind of engage anybody and become their pal as like a survival mechanism, because you don't want them to kill you if something goes wrong. And then if you're driving like 4 or 5 years, you're actually hoping somebody will kill you, so your demeanor changes a little bit because it's too much traffic. But I would basically just tell you that the survival skill of cab driving is very much the survival skill of politics in the year 2021. You can take the issues seriously, but you can't take yourself seriously. Like, you have to downshift and just kind of be cool, because looking out at the world, what do we need right now? You know, is I obviously lean pretty far to the right. I'm unapologetically pro-American, come from a big law enforcement military background, but we just need more cool people. Like, more than anything else out there, so many people aren't being cool right now, that if you could just be cool, just be easy to get along with, you'd make progress in the country.
In fact, today, I'm listening to you, and you made the point, I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, just don't be a jerk.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole manifesto of the show. It's like, we lean to the right, yes, but if you can just be cool, we could get back to a place where, I mean, you're a sports guy, I'm a sports guy. Like, I think, like, America might have peaked in, like, 1985 when the Bears made the Super Bowl shuffle video, because it was like football had made its way into, like, pop culture, and America was really integrated, and we were, like, really honest about what we were as a country, which was not a perfect place. We were just the best place. And the truth is, that's where we are now. We're not a perfect country. We just happen to be the best country by leaps and bounds. But rather than celebrating that, we have a Democratic Party, I feel, that very much pushes like this message of victimhood and everybody in America is racist and they don't even know it. And none of that's true. And they're only saying it for political purposes. But I think to cut through that, you have to be cool. Because if you yell back, you're just one of them psychos. And you don't really win anybody over by yelling at them. So our disposition on our show is, we're very much putting your vitamins in your applesauce. Like, you don't even realize you're digesting hard news, but man, we have to cover a lot of it.
Again, our guest right now is Jimmy Failla, again, host of Fox Across America. You'll hear this starting Monday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 a.m. Jimmy, you and I had a conversation before we hopped on the air, and we were talking about Rush Limbaugh. And obviously, you know, we said goodbye to a legend, arguably the greatest radio personality in the history of this business. You're a radio guy, I'm a radio guy. We recognize the greatness of Rush. And you brought up the idea of being complimentary to Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, it's so true, because I'll tell you why. Honestly, this is the only thing I know how to do well, and I listen to so much Rush in my cab. Is radio, at its best, allows the people listening to it to get a real bounce in their day, because you listen to it at work, you listen to it during your commute, and it kind of gives you something to look forward to. It gives you a 2 or 3 hour, you know, escape from the job you might be doing, the commute you might be on. And the thing Rush did for me as a guy that was in a cab 12 to 15 hours a day is obviously he was brilliant. Obviously he had incredible analysis, but he was wildly entertaining as like a partner, as like a ride-along partner to your day. And I always say, Jordan, like radio is like a buddy cop movie. You get in your car one day and you turn the dial and you find out that you have a new partner talking to you through the speakers. And you basically have to decide if he's a partner you can ride along with or not. And Rush was obviously the best partner of all time in the buddy cop movie of radio. But what I've always been mindful of as a broadcaster is that's the best thing you can do for the listeners. Like if you're cool and you're entertaining, it works. And that's why we do consider this show, and it's, you know, we're picking up a lot of stations because we're a very good complement to Rush, and that obviously we're not as smart or as influential or as talented. I mean, you've heard enough of this interview to know that. But we're a good hang. And to all of your listeners who I know are going to be crushed about the idea of not having Rush, as I am, I mean, radio's better having him around, you should know that I mean it. I'm very much worth giving a chance because I'm bargaining in good faith, and I'm one of you. I'm not some superstar, big-name talent with, like, a huge Twitter following. I'm a guy who started out driving a taxi and is very emblematic of what the American dream is. I mean, I'm replacing radio shows that I was listening to in a taxi. And when you talk about, like, you know, not having money in the bank, I've been at points where I didn't have the bank. You know what I'm saying, Jordan? You know, have you ever, like, where the bank is actually just like a brown bag? Like, I've been there, folks. I'm a real dude. I've seen some things, is what I'm trying to say.
Do you feel the pressure of now knowing that 10-to-1 time slot, it's been so vital in radio for so long? Do you feel the pressure of now taking over? I guess we can compare it to sports, right? Like when someone has to step into the shoes of Kobe Bryant, when LeBron James joined the Lakers, he had to carry that franchise to the next level. There's got to be pressure involved, right?
On some level, yes, but this is the way you get away from it. I mean, you have to make peace with the fact that obviously no one can be Rush Limbaugh. So the pressure, I think, would come from assuming you were going to duplicate what he did in some way, shape, or form, which is just impossible. The thing that made him great, which is the thing that kind of takes the pressure off me, from my own approach, is I know what made him great is he was so uniquely who he was, meaning the Rush on the air was the Rush off the air. Anybody who met him, anybody who knew him, was like, this guy's just awesome. And he was awesome because he was himself. And the only thing I can put pressure on myself to be is just me. Like, if I come on and I just do what I think I do well, then I really, honestly, like, I don't feel pressure in that regard, but I feel pressure in the sense of I want the listeners to know that I get it. Because we have this inclination in this day and age where life is just so convenient that if something doesn't immediately give us what we want, we're like, well, never again. You know, you're not my friend. I'm not talking to you anymore. So I guess the pressure I feel is just to make sure everybody gets where I'm coming from. I miss Rush, too. I feel the way most of you do politically, and I care greatly about the country, and I'm a pretty good hang. Like, Jordan, if you talk to me long enough, you always leave feeling better about your own intelligence. Because you're like, well, I'm smarter than this guy. So it's going to work, man. Just hang in there.
All right, Jimmy, let's talk about the important stuff. Opening day, Major League Baseball. You're a Yankee guy. I did not take the Yankees to go to the World Series. I know we got a lot of Yankee fans here in the state of Utah. Look, the bottom line is, man, I don't trust New York to stay healthy. That's been a problem over the last couple of years, be it Stanton, be it Judge, already Luis Severino on the IL. Give me your thoughts on Major League Baseball this year. And I got to get a World Series prediction out of you. I have to.
Oh, I'll give you one. Okay, here's my thought, for real. I do think the Yankees are uniquely positioned in their division, like you said, if in fact their pitching staff can remain healthy. That's obviously the big if for every one of these franchises, is that we're going back to 162 games. You know, that's going to be, I think, the big challenge is going to be arms and how you fill innings, because we're going to see things like openers, you know, and all kinds of creative bullpen configurations. The Mets are already talking about that over here. And I think, honestly, this is a Yankee team, having been there, you know, lost a couple of ALCSs and, you know, faced off against the Astros and stuff like that, that is uniquely positioned in that I think the shortened season benefited them last year, and I think we will be better, you know, especially at the top of our rotation, having guys get healthy. So if you wanted a real prediction, if you wanted, I keep forgetting that I'm on a sports talk station. What's so funny, Jordan, is whenever I talk sports on my show, I'm mindful of the fact that most people don't know them as well as you do, so I try to stay in generalities. But if you want to get into, like, value over replacement player and stuff, like, I'll talk stats with you and put this crowd to bed right now. But no, I think the Yankees, looking out at what we're doing right now, obviously, I love LeMahieu. I love Aaron Hicks. I love Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton horrifies me because he doesn't remind me of a top-tier slugger. He reminds me of the knockoff version I would buy down in Canal Street here in New York. Like, the, you know, like a Times Square Rolex. Like, it looks good. It comes with a nice pedigree. But then you realize it's not really that dependable. So, you know, I'm not high on him. I love Gleyber Torres, and I think if Gary Sanchez can block a single ball in the dirt this year, it would be progress. But it's, you know, me growing up at a Yankee household, me feeling like we're due because we haven't won since 2009, has me thinking this could be the year. So if you want a reckless World Series prediction, and everybody forgive me for this because it's very much coming from my heart, I think the Yankees will go. I actually believe that in my heart, though. Okay, and I think over on the National League side of town, I like the Padres as my sleeper pick.
Okay. I'm surprised you're not going Subway Series with the Mets. I mean, yesterday with the signing of Lindor, you take a look at what they have offensively. I'm not a Mets guy, but I'm excited for Jacob DeGrom because finally this guy has some run support. We're going to see DeGrom win more than 9 or 10 games instead of giving us 20 quality starts and 9 wins, right? I mean, he actually has the ability to win 20 games this year.
No, I will give you that, okay? But here's the thing. Lindor getting a $341 million contract. The Mets can't point to one long-term contract like that that actually worked out for them. For whatever reason, they have nobody goes to the Mets and gets better. Like, nobody. There's very few examples you can give me of somebody who actually went there and was a better version than the guy they brought it, they, you know, that they anticipated getting. Not that Lindor is that kind of player because he's durable. He's not a, you know, big power guy that's going to break down. I mean, he has good power numbers for his position. But I'm not sold on the Mets because if you're around them long enough, you know, there's always something. You know, that's the whole thing. Like, there's always something. We've had so many of these optimistic Mets seasons where they start off 10-1 and everybody, you know, thinks it's going to be great. And by, you know, the middle of July, if you get there early, you can play, you know. And that's very much the reality for this Mets team. No, I will look at the – I looked at the Padres roster this morning. We were having this talk before we did my show. And they're stacked. And they're stacked in a way that – you know how hard it is to repeat now? And, you know, everybody's obviously pretty bullish on the Dodgers because their rotation got better, I think you would argue. But I think the Padres are well-positioned in the shadow of their bigger market cousins to sneak in and take it. I actually really, like, I like the Padres. That's not my heart. Like, the Yankees is kind of my heart. The Padres, I'd actually bet the Padres. I don't know what the actual price is on them. I don't know if they're, like, 10-1 or 20-1. I should look at the futures in Vegas so I can throw more money away. Okay, because that lineup, top to bottom's pretty good. Mateo's really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you going to tell me Fernando Tatis Jr., who, by the way, didn't he get a bazillion dollars, too? I feel like he did.
Yeah, I got a little less than Lindor, but the big difference is Tatis hasn't even played 162 games yet.
I know. That's what's crazy. Like, I feel like I don't, like, I can give you three examples of guys that have signed 10-year deals and actually they got a return on the investment. Derek Jeter was one, but again, not a big power hitter, but he had a 10-year, $189 million deal that he signed after the 98 season. And of course, we got a huge return on that. We won a bunch more, I think, you know, at that point forward, we won 3 more World Series after that, and he was great. He was Derek Jeter. He was the face of the franchise. We had one good 10-year deal out of Sabathia that we extended that kind of went downhill, but he was a big, durable guy. And the only other argument you could make is maybe the 10-year that A-Rod signed, that he technically signed to go to Texas with and wound up on the Yankees with, although it didn't come without controversy. There's not a lot of other 10-year deals you could point to. Like Robinson Cano, who left the Yankees to go to Seattle, I believe it was like $242 million at the time through Roc Nation and Jay-Z. He was a tomato can. He was hurt. I mean, he was Robinson Cano. He didn't run hard. He had good power numbers for a second baseman, but he was a very frustrating guy to watch. And he was rewarded for that effort with a trade back to the Mets, which is, oh, good goodness. Why would you do that to somebody? Aren't there laws against cruel and unusual punishment, Jordan?
There should be. 10-year deals worked out okay for the Dodgers. You sign Mookie Betts to a 12-year, $300 million deal. You get a World Series championship. There you go.
That's nuts. How did they make that? I still don't understand that trade. Alan Dershowitz, who's a famous celebrity attorney, he's been around forever, he grew up a huge Brooklyn Dodger fan, but because he lives up in Martha's Vineyard, kind of adopted the Red Sox as his team in, like, the 70s. And every time he comes on my show, like, we have to sit on the dump button because he starts screaming if I bring up baseball about the Mookie Betts trade. Like to the point that, like, it's not healthy. And he's the only guy in the history of the show I have to use the dump button for is an attorney who's, you know, probably, I don't know, 78 years old. But people love their baseball, Jordan. That's the point. That's why I was so happy to come do this. God, I love opening day.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It really is. Again, Jimmy Failla joining us right now. You can listen to him Monday right here on KOAL from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Fox Across America. Jimmy, it was so much fun to get to talk with you over the last 20 minutes or so and usher in a new era here on the station. I know you and I will have more conversations, especially with it being baseball season in the near future. Welcome to the KOAL family, and again, thank you so much for the time today.
Dude, this is a big deal, and you better come do my show. I know you're a big sports star, but you better come do Fox Across America.
Anytime. You tell me, I'm there.
Rock and roll, Jordan. I owe you big. Thanks, brother. See everybody Monday.
We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
We're back to close out this edition of Drive Time Sports. Fun show today. Got to talk to Coach Jeff Centeneros. Also, getting acquainted with Jimmy Failla. Don't forget, he is going to take over for Rush Limbaugh beginning Monday morning at 10 a.m. right here on KOAL. On tomorrow's show, we're going to talk more local sports. Curbon High School on the diamond. We'll talk to Coach Kurt Nunley. He's going to join us. What a brilliant start for this Curbon Lady Dino softball's team. They are 9-1 so far this season. Off to a brilliant start. Right now, enjoying spring break. They return to the field on Tuesday, so we'll talk with Coach Kurt Nunley. We'll also have some USU Eastern Athletics to talk about. The conference tournament for volleyball gets underway tomorrow at the Sevier Valley Center in Richfield. That's coming up on the show. Then we'll also talk about opening day. I mean, right now, games going on all day long. Dodgers and Rockies right now still going on ESPN in the sixth inning. And we'll talk about all that and more on the show tomorrow. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Be safe. I am out.